washed in the precious blood of Christ. We thank you that our salvation doesn't depend upon us, and we rejoice that our assurance of salvation doesn't depend upon us. We thank thee that Jesus has said, because I live, ye shall live also. But, O Lord, we pray this day that you might help us to lay aside the weight. You might enable us to run with patience the race that is set before us. And we pray, Lord, that thy will might be done in our hearts and in our lives. May thy will be done, and may we be those that rejoice in having thy will done. Now we pray for the preaching of thy word, for the cleansing of the blood of Christ, and the anointing of God the Holy Ghost, and that Jesus might have all the glory. O Lord, this day, draw our hearts out after thee, take away every distraction, and help us, O Lord, to feel and know God's touch in our lives, the preaching of thy word, for Christ's sake. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 111. Now this portion of the Word of God is one of three great, what we might call, three great hallelujah psalms. You'll notice that along with Psalm 112 and Psalm 113, that this psalm begins with the wonderful words, "Praise ye the Lord." Words that are simple, words that are direct, words that are continued from one psalm to the next. Psalm 111, 112, 113 give us the very same exhortation at the beginning and call us to adore the Lord that has loved us and done so much for us. In fact, if you look a bit more closely at verse Psalm 111 and Psalm 113, the psalms not only begin with the words "Praise ye the Lord," but they end with the praise of God too. The end of this first psalm we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." And then at the end of Psalm 113, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house, to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." So there is absolutely no doubting the fact that these three psalms are special psalms, hallelujah psalms, and the theme throughout of them, throughout all of them, is this: the theme of praise and adoration. We're called here to praise and to keep praising and to go on in keeping praising of God. There's something else that's interesting about the psalms, the first two of them at least, is that they're what we call alphabetical psalms. It doesn't always appear in our English translation, but if you were to take the Old Testament in the original Hebrew, you'd find at the beginning of each of these verses, in Psalm 111 and Psalm 112, they each begin with the successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's an important feature to remember. It is important to know that from beginning to end, the Lord himself, whose works and whose ways, whose character and whose being is exalted in the words of the psalmist, that the Lord himself, in all that he is and all that he does, is the sum and substance, the be-all and the end-all of our worship and our thanksgiving. Do you remember that right at the end of the Bible, there's a lovely title of Jesus used in Revelation? He says of himself, "I am Alpha and I am Omega." That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Christ is saying, "I am the be-all and I am the end-all. I am the first and the last. Praise begins with me. Praise ends with me." And our Lord is revealing himself in these psalms as that very one, the one who is the be-all and the end-all of our worship. Just to emphasize the importance of praise still further, I'd like you to take a closer look with me now at these psalms and mark every time the word praise is used. Psalm 111, verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord." And then the psalmist says of himself, whatever anybody else does, I'm going to do that. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Then Psalm 111, verse 10, "His praise endureth forever." Psalm 112, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord." 113, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." Psalm 113, verse 3, "The Lord's name is to be praised." Then Psalm 113, verse 9, very last verse, "Praise ye the Lord." So all of this has to do with the praise of God Almighty. And I think that that's a very timely thing to consider for us today. Very important. Because if ever the pulpits of our land, including this one, and if ever the people that belong to Christian churches, if ever the redeemed of the Lord need a revival of true praise, then it has to be today. One of the reasons why the Church of Jesus Christ lacks at times effectiveness is because of this very thing. It's because of the barrenness of praise and thanksgiving. And yet we're assured in the Word of God that if Christians are happy in Jesus, if Christians are happy in their God, they will have a testimony which, by God's influence, will be a testimony of power. We sang Psalm 40 this morning in our worship. And when God puts a new song in His people's mouth, Psalm 40 tells us, many shall see it, many shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. That's what we want to see. We want to see people fear. We want to see people moving on from fear to trust. We want that. If we love our Savior, then we want that. Those are the things that we desire more than anything else. All of us know people, maybe in our family circles, maybe in neighbours, maybe people that we work with. And if the Lord gives to us the love for the souls of men, that we would desire that they would fear the Lord, that they would learn to trust Him. Can that happen? Let me put it like this, it will never happen that the Christian church is not happy in the praise of God. Many shall see our song. If God puts into our mouths, into our hearts this very day in this service, the new song of thanksgiving, a fresh sense of our standing in Jesus, then many shall see it, many shall fear, many shall trust. What a wonderful comfort and assurance that is. So when we think about the praise of God, I think that we have to say it's a very timely exhortation that we're coming to consider today. The praise of God is the thing that gives power to the Christian's testimony. The praise of God is the very thing that lifts the heaviness of the heart of the Christian. How discouraged, how downhearted, how despondent, depressed, almost hopeless we become of the cause of Christ in this land. Maybe something else is the cause of our heaviness. One thing is sure, that when we have the Spirit of God baptizing us with the praise of our Lord, then things will be different. The Bible says that He can give us the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what we need for our testimony and for us personally. Lifting of the heaviness of depression and discouragement comes when we learn to praise the Lord. I think the continued emphasis in these three psalms on praise tells us something. It reminds us that sometimes you have to set aside everything else. Sometimes you have to be taken up wholly with the praise of God. For all of that, of course, I and you and Christians, this wide world over, need a quickened heart. And so it should be our prayer today that as we approach these psalms, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? O Lord, revive my heart. That should be our prayer. Revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee. That is not something that the preacher can give to himself or to anybody else. That's not something that the sacraments of the church can impart. That is not something that any Christian, however skilled in language or however wonderfully his testimony might be, although he speaks with the tongue of men and angels, he cannot quicken the heart and make God's people to rejoice again in him. But God can do it, and God will do it if you and I take it seriously and ask him so to do. I want to notice four things in this psalm about praise. First of all, in verse 1, we have the exhortation to praise. Very simple words. No mistaking what he means. Praise ye the Lord. That's the way with which he opens these hallelujah psalms. And the command is a very simple, powerful reminder to us that all of us that were Christians are under obligation to praise God and to worship him. Yet at the same time, it's not so much an obligation as it should be a pleasure and a delight. When we remember the cross, when we remember his precious blood, when we remember the empty tomb, when we remember the occupied throne, when we remember the fact that Jesus will not stand to be apart from us forever, but will come again and receive us to himself, that makes praise no longer a duty, no longer a drudgery. That makes praise and the commandment of God a pleasure. And we rejoice in praising Him. The very first word, in fact, underscores the fact that the love of the Lord is the thing which helps us to heed the exhortation. The word praise in the Hebrew is the word that we commonly use today, and some are commonly used in praise and in singing, and songs that we have in our book, hallelujah. Lovely word, hallelujah. It's the word praise, but the word Jehovah at the end. In Hebrew it would be read, hallelujah. We know the name Jehovah because we're acquainted with it from the Word of God and other studies. But the name here is not simply Jehovah, it's not simply hallelujah, Jehovah. It's hallelujah. There's a special revelation of Jehovah. The very first occurrence in the Hebrew text of the name Jah for God occurs in no less a place in Exodus 15 and verse 2. You remember what that is all about? The deliverance, salvation, the redemption of the people of Israel. And in verse 1 it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. That was in the day when the rider of the Egyptians, the horsemen, the host of Pharaoh were cast into the sea. And he opened his mouth, and this is what he said, Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. From the Hebrew, Jah is my strength. Jah is my song. Jah has become my salvation. Well, the name Jehovah is something that strikes us with awe. If we're unconverted, it should strike us with terror. Because it's the name of the eternal God. The God who is so immense, so great, so wonderful, the God who never had a beginning and never will have an end. And rightly considered, it is a terror to the unconverted. But the wonderful thing is this, that Jehovah is not simply Jehovah, He is Jah. That is Jehovah in a special relationship to His people. Jehovah in a special sense and relation. Jehovah as having become our salvation. Christian today in this meeting, take heart. Your Savior who died and rose again, your Savior who prayed for you, is no less than Jehovah, is no less than Jah. He has become your salvation. The one who is your Savior, he who is, he who was, he who is to come, the everlasting God, that eternal God who had no beginning and no ending, is your Savior. Your Savior, that makes salvation sure. And when we recognize that, our hearts are filled and overflowing with assurance and peace. And therefore, the exhortation to praise is not difficult. You'll notice that this exhortation to praise is personal. Praise ye, is what he says. The psalmist here is one who applies the word personally to the conscience of the reader and listener. And he shows us by that simple personal expression that whatever anybody else is doing, we must take heed to this ourselves. A revival of praise begins, and a revival of the Church of Christ begins when individual Christians take the commandment or the exhortation seriously. And if adults, if children can praise God with their hearts, how much should not adults also praise Him with their hearts? Some people doubt whether a child can be truly regenerate and be a true worshipper. People that doubt that really don't know what the Bible teaches. And I wish that those that doubted and voiced their doubts would forget the grips of the fact that God is mighty enough to regenerate the life of an infant and to make him or her a true worshipper. Jesus made that abundantly clear, I believe, in Matthew 21:16, where he says, out of the noise and of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise. And if God can regenerate, quicken the life of a little infant, make him or her a true worshipper, make him or her a true praiser of God, how much should adults take this, Christians take this exhortation seriously? This is personal. It should be pleasurable. He says, those of you that are saved, praise ye the Lord. So there's the exhortation to praise. The second thing which I want you to consider is the determination to praise God. In verse 1 he says, I will praise Him. It's a bit pointless, the psalmist saying, now you praise God and I'm not going to praise Him. And it's a bit pointless, the minister saying to the congregation, praise ye the Lord, when there's not the stirring of His heart. I think one of the dangers of being so involved in a work, even though it might be a small work, still things to be done. And sometimes it is so easy for the minister to get caught up in the routine of his business, in the preparation of sermons, the visitation of homes, the distribution of leaflets, whatever it is he's doing, so easy to get caught up in it all and be so involved in the work that we're not so much involved in the Lord himself. And this verse comes as a challenge to me as well. The psalmist says, the very man who has praised called others to praise, he says, I will praise him. You know what you need before you need a minister who can deliver a good sermon? You need a minister and a preacher who knows in his heart what it is to praise God. That's what you need. I remember hearing many years ago about people, and you probably heard expression of this used before, that when a church is going to call a minister, they'll say, is he a good preacher? They want to know first about his preaching. They said to me that perhaps the first thing they should ask is he a good prayer? And maybe another question they should ask as we read Psalm 111, does he know what it is to really praise God? We need hearts that are aflame with the praise and worship of God, hearts that are in love with Christ. That's what I need. And the psalmist says, and every Christian personally should be able to say, well, whatever anybody else is doing, I am determined. However things go, I am determined to praise. The psalmist here puts his heart into it. He says, I will. There's no one's going to stop me. There's no one's going to discourage me. No one's going to dissuade me. Nobody's going to put me off. Whoever they are, whatever they are, whatever their standing is, I know something. In my heart, I am convinced. In my heart, I am purposed. And in my heart, I will praise him. So the psalmist doesn't wait to see what others are doing. And neither should we. Christians are not to praise God only when others do. Rather, we are to say with another psalm, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will do it. People change. Thank God, God doesn't change. So whether or not others are praising him, beside the point. If others have left off praising him, or if others have never begun to praise him and are offended by heart praise and worship, like the inspired writer, you and I are to say at all times, I will praise him. A changeless God, the eternal Jehovah, is worthy of unending adoration. Therefore, brethren and sisters in Christ, young Christians as well as older Christians, let us purpose. Let us be determined to praise God today. Let us say, whatever comes, I will praise him. Many years ago in our old house in Belfast, I lived with my parents and family. Before we moved house, we lived in the house and we had a scripture text. It wasn't really a text, but it was Bible-based. Anyway, it was just two little words, and it hung above the door of the living room. And every time we walked out, we couldn't help but see it. The words were simply on the text, Hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah anyway. We smiled at it sometimes. But, you'll see it. If you know and are aware of the promises of God to comfort you, if you believe them, if you know that you're bound for heaven, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? Death is the worst. And yet at the same time, it's not so much a bad thing, because for to me delivers Christ as Paul to die as him. So we can say, whatever comes, hallelujah anyway, I will praise him. This psalmist is determined to praise God not only personally but publicly. He says in verse 1, I will praise him in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That means, perhaps by the word assembly, is meant a private meeting of Christians. Maybe the word congregation, as some commentators suggest, means an open, more public meeting. Well, that is certainly an important thing. Psalmist said in Psalm 66:13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. Now, you and I can't do that in the same way as David did it. But there's another kind of sacrifice which he can offer. The Bible exhorts us with these words, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Where should we do it? In the home? Yes. But we're called to do it in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Spurgeon comments, why should we fear the presence of men? The best of men will join us in our song, and if some will not, then our example will be a needed rebuke to them. One final thought is this. In this determination to praise God, the psalmist is not only personal, the psalmist not only says, I will do it, not only purposed, I should say, he's not only determined and purposed to praise God publicly, he's purposed to do it sincerely. A very, very important word which we often pass over. I will praise the Lord with my tongue. It doesn't say that, Lord, that may be implied. I will praise the Lord with my heart, with my whole heart, is the emphasis. We're not really determined to praise God, nor can you and I really worship our God. We can't really worship Him unless we have such a heart, unless we do it with our heart. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And the important thing about this in the original language is that under the word heart there is the strongest possible grammatical clause. So it's there to lay emphasis. There's where we stop in the second phrase of this verse. I will praise the Lord with my heart. With my heart. With my heart. The emphasis is upon the heart here. And only a whole heart is the heart that truly praises God. A whole heart is a whole heart that appreciates God. A true God is to be praised with the mind. We are commanded to sing praises with the understanding. But there's something beyond that. Not only is our intellect to be engaged in worship, not only are to be sing praises with understanding, it's the very innermost being, our heart, our emotion, our feelings, our love for Christ. It's all got to be engaged here. I will praise the Lord with my heart. Now, what is a whole heart? Well, the whole heart is, the wholeness in the Bible is the opposite of sickness or brokenness. The word Matthew 14:36 literally means thoroughly sound, thorough soundness. The whole heart, therefore, is a heart which has progressed from brokenness to blessedness. A heart that has been broken not simply by sin, but for sin. And the offense of that sin has been to a loving God. David had such a heart. He prayed in Psalm 51 with regard to it as prayer of repentance. And for all whose hearts have been broken, not simply by sin, but for sin, for the offense of our sin, there's comfort and there's healing. One of the very first things Jesus said in public was this. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. One of the very first things he said in the church was this, in the synagogue was this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted. Wholeness signifies not only soundness, it signifies totality. Psalmist says, I'm not going to be dissuaded. I'm not going to be distracted. I am determined not merely in praise with the lips, but praise with the heart. Not merely in praise with a divided heart, but a heart that is totally engaged with God. Wholehearted praise is true praise. We can't give half of it to Christ and half of it to the world. See what Jesus says again, so very important here. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, or either he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here is a man who's got the victory. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Say, what is the state of your heart today? What's the state of my heart? And that's a question that we have to ask. It takes a whole heart to praise God, a heart that believes in Jesus, a heart that has been healed by the touch of His grace and by the power of His precious blood, a heart that is filled with God the Holy Ghost. That's a heart that has progressed from brokenness to wholeness. That's a sincere heart. That's a simple heart. That's an honest heart. That's a whole heart. And that's a heart whose worship is accepted of God through our own dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's think about this today, the exhortation and the determination. And may God grant to us the same spirit of David. And others will see. They will look on and they'll say, what's happened to those people down in that church in Victoria Road? Something's different happened. Something strange has happened. The Lord has done great things for them. With all they are glad. And when the world sees, we're happy to fade into the background and to give our great God and Savior the glory. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise Him. May we hear it. May we heed it. May we say the same for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.